Hello, this is Anil Kumar from Back to the Bible radio broadcast. Today, as we continue our series, The Greatest Sermon Ever Preached with Dr. Neufeld, we will look at one of the most misunderstood passages of the Bible. Let's begin as we turn to Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 to 6, with the message entitled, Wise and Foolish Judgment.
The story is told of a woman waiting in an airport terminal, waiting to get onto her plane. She had brought a book to read and a package of cookies to eat. A man sat down beside her one seat over. The woman noticed that he was opening her package of cookies on the seat between them. He then took one out and ate it. She was shocked, but she didn't know what to say. It was rude, but do you confront him? So she reached over, took one of her cookies and ate it, just to give the impression that it was her bag of cookies and not just a bag of someone who had left it there. The man said nothing. He finished his cookies, and then he reached over and took another one. Shocking again. The woman was now reaching over, and a race began between the two of them, eating all the cookies. No word was said. They just both ate furiously. When the last one was done, without a word being spoken, the man simply stood up and walked away. She never saw him again, but she was angry. I mean, what a nerve he had. The announcement came to board the plane, and the woman got on, but she was still steaming. As she sat down in her airplane seat, she reached into her purse for a tissue and noticed, to her shock, her unopened bag of cookies. She forgot she had put her cookies in her own purse. It turns out he was not eating hers. She was eating his. You know, that's a funny story, but it speaks about the judgments we make. How often we make assumptions that seem so right, leading to reactions that seem so justified, but we really didn't have all the facts. Sometimes we hold to false judgments for years, unaware of how wrong we've been. I'm reading Matthew 7, 1 to 6. Judge not that you be not judged. For with the measure you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there's a log in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn and attack you. You know, Jesus' words, judge not, are among the most misunderstood words in the Bible. How many of us have heard people who really are doing something that's morally wrong then say to others, you have no right to judge me? You know, some time ago, I got an email from a woman who was living out of wedlock with a man. I didn't know her, and as far as I know, she was not attending my church, but she wrote me to tell me that she was a Christian and she was very tired of Christians judging her. She said, I'm living with this guy, and Jesus told us not to judge. Well, was she right? Did I have the right to judge her, or did I not? See, there's the question. We're going to get back to that. You know, for some, Jesus' words, judge not, justify a philosophy of moral relativism. What's moral relativism? Well, it's the belief that no human action is objectively right or wrong. Putting it simply, there are no absolutes, so the philosophy goes, we should tolerate any lifestyle choice anyone makes, provided they make the decision authentically. And some argue Jesus must have held this view because he said, judge not. But isn't it curious that just five verses later in verse 6, Jesus tells us not to throw what is holy before dogs and pearls before pigs? Of course, he's referring to people whom he calls pigs and dogs. If we are going to do what he says, don't throw holy things to pigs and dogs, doesn't that assume that we have a judgment to make about what's holy and about who the pigs and the dogs are? Furthermore, in verse 15, Jesus warns us about false prophets. Again, a judgment is required. Later on in John chapter 7, verse 24, he specifically commands, do not judge by appearances, but judge with right judgment. So here he condemns one kind of judgment by appearances, And he commands another kind of judgment, something he calls a right judgment. I'm going to come back to that very important distinction later on. But there's another matter. For many in the non-Christian world, Christians, well, they look condemning and judging. We're the ones who oppose everything: abortion, homosexuality, euthanasia, the transgender movement, well, on and on it goes. In their eyes, we look like mean-spirited people constantly wagging our fingers at others. Judgmental people are unattractive people. Now, of course, we have to sort this matter out. Christians are not moral relativists. We believe in a God who has declared his righteousness and has told us what is good and what is evil. But we're going to have to ask ourselves what kind of judgment is forbidden and what kind of judgment is commanded. Now, to be truthful, we all have an inner sense of this thing. Even the woman who wrote me the letter about not judging her went on to tell me of all the Christians who have judged her in the past. Well, it became quite apparent that she was judging them while they were judging her. See, everyone makes judgments. We can't help ourselves. But if we're thoughtful, we'll want to do better than just to say, when I'm judging, it's fine, and when others are judging, it's not. No. We want some kind of an objective way to evaluate judgments. You know, when I gave the example of the woman with her cookies, we might all say, we should not judge until we have all the facts. Well, true enough. Judgment without facts is always wrong. But when this woman judged the man who was eating the cookies beside her, she assumed that she did have all the facts. And that's precisely the problem. We can never be sure when we have all the facts. Do you see? The matter is quite complicated. There's an interesting passage about judging in Romans 14. In that chapter, the Apostle Paul speaks about matters of conscience, matters of lifestyle choices that have no specific scriptural command, but matters around which lots of people have opinions. In Romans 14, the issue was, what kinds of food was it permissible for a Christian to eat? Now, I know that in our day, that's hardly a controversy, but it really was in the first century. So given that Christians were divided about that issue, and given that this really was a matter to be determined by each person's conscience, the Apostle Paul in Romans 4, verse 13 writes, "Therefore, let no one pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or a hindrance in the way of a brother." In other words, by judging people according to standards not found in the Bible, we are making it difficult for them to grow in their faith. I mean, these might be new believers or weak Christians who are driven from fellowship because of judgment based on standards not found in the Bible. So, we are not to judge one another over personal standards that are not commanded or forbidden in Scripture. Now, if we are to put it into our terms, it goes like this. A woman wears pants rather than a dress. In some cultures, that's bad. But, says Paul, do not judge her. A young man or woman has a tattoo, and maybe not just one, but all over. Don't judge. One drinks wine, the other does not. Judge not. See, these are matters of personal conscience, and we should allow people to work these matters out for themselves. Do not judge matters of personal conscience. If you do, you will destroy some people's opportunities to come to the faith. Okay, that principle is taught in Scripture. Was Jesus speaking about these kinds of things? Well, yes, most certainly, but is that all? Well, there are other matters that Jesus might be speaking about as well. Here's another example. All of us know people who are judgmental. Perhaps you're one of them. These are the kinds of people who think the worst of someone else. They have the harshest thing to say about the behavior of others. They're always commenting about something: the behavior of other people's children, whether your clothes are stylish or badly chosen. They don't like your bad grammar. You look stupid with lipstick that you use. These are the kind of people who are constantly looking down on others, whose great delight in life is to point out failures and shortcomings. They generally have an opinion about everything. Is Jesus speaking about this? Well, no doubt. But as we've already noticed, there are some things we are to judge. Here's a for instance. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul severely criticizes that church for not taking church discipline seriously. And then he says, and I'm reading 1 Corinthians 5 verse 12, "For what have I to do with judging outsiders? Is it not those inside the church whom you are to judge?" I've always found that to be a fascinating passage. Paul will not judge those outside the church. That's for God to do. And he will do so on the final day. After all, those outside the church don't know about God's grace and how God's commands lead to life. They're ignorant. But those on the inside, well, that's a different matter.
Jesus' words, "Judge not, lest you be judged," is one of the most misunderstood passages in the entire Bible, sadly even within the church. Jesus is calling us to learn how to judge rightly and according to biblical standards. We must be careful to avoid judging others based on superficial standards. When we come back, Dr. Neufeld helps us discover what in fact is proper way to judge based on Jesus' teaching. Back to the Bible, leading people into a dynamic relationship with God. Dr. Neufeld has been helping us to unpack what Jesus really taught in Matthew chapters 5 to 7. We hope you have been blessed and encouraged by listening to these great teachings so far, as there is so much to learn about what it means to be a citizen of God's kingdom on earth. We hope you have been blessed. And now these timeless messages are available for you to own on a CD for just ₹100, which includes shipping and handling. Listen and be inspired by Jesus' profound lessons about true faith and what it looks like. Don't miss this opportunity to grab your CD today by calling 9492-440070. That's 9492-440070. Or email us at info@backtothebible.in. Info@backtothebible.in.